Our scripture for this morning is from the first book of the Bible, going back to Genesis chapter 5, reading verses 18 through 24 in the New International Version. You might want to share this with Ashton. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. I would say in these days there's a renewed interest in the idea of walking for your health. Of course, there have always been smart people who have known that taking a daily walk is good for your whole body, for your health. And there have always been some strongly religious people who have found that the biblical concept of good walking is the idea of walking with God. Not nearly as many people as those who religiously practice the bodily exercise of a daily 1 mile or so walk out of doors. Actually, I became very sensitive to that, and I've become sensitive to it every Sunday morning when I'm driving to church. Lots of folks out there at that time getting their daily walk. Only it's a walk for their own good and not for a growing relationship with the Lord on his day. I bet if you drive anywhere to get to church on Sunday, you see that too. Well, enough of that. This morning, I want to walk you through our Bible's emphasis on the other and the better kind of walking, spiritual walking with God. And I would venture to say that although that kind of walking may be primarily spiritual, I think it's quite likely that walking with God most probably is going to also improve your physical being. I really think so. And I've come to that conclusion by the knowledge that with God, all things are possible. And I'd say with that hope and that prayer, let's focus for now on the spiritual enrichment of walking with God. The Bible says, our morning text verse 24 says, Enoch walked faithfully with God. So who was Enoch? Well, the Bible tells us, verse 18, that he was the son of Jared, and then verses 21 and 22, the father of Methuselah. And in the New Testament book of Jude, verse 14, we're told in genealogy that he was the seventh in descent from Adam, who's in the line of Seth. The Bible says, verse 23, his life on earth was 365 years. The brief record of his life is written in one amazing verse, verse 24, in the words, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. That's his whole life. Now, I'd like to ask you to please indulge me for a moment. I'm an old retired guy, you know, so you can indulge me. I just have to take a little pause here because, yes, you know me and you know my strange sense of humor. So here's a little puzzle for you. How is it possible that the man in the Bible who lived the longest life ended up dying before his father died. How is that? Well, the answer to that in a few verses, verses 24 and 25 of our text, and then verse 27 that's beyond our text. See, verses 23 and 24 say, Enoch lived 365 years, and then he was no more. And that finishes up by saying, because God took him away. And we take that to mean that Enoch never died. God just took him away. And verse 27 tells us that Methuselah, who was Enoch's son, lived 969 years. He's the oldest man in the Bible. But because Enoch never died, his old son died before the death of Enoch. So you see there, that's just an interesting, maybe just a little amusing piece of history. But let's get back to the important truths of this story of Enoch. The words walked faithfully with God represent the singularly devout life of Enoch, a man who lived in close communion with God. The words, then he was no more, are explained in the great New Testament chapter on faith, which is Hebrews 11. In verse 5 there, it says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. And using this brief but very astounding story of Enoch's life, I want to share with you some ideas to consider as we think about this great concept of walking with God. Well, the first idea I want to share is that it is both pleasant and real, an idea of companionship. The most rewarding companion for life's walk is a divine companion. You've gone out on a pleasant day to do the good of taking a walk. And in general, I would say you would rather taking that walk time alone. Which would you rather? Or having someone you really like to take that walk with you? See, that's not a very good question, because anyone would rather have familiar, caring, pleasant companionship anytime you're taking a walk. It's a time for togetherness. It's a time for communion. Paul was dealing with the Christians of Corinth, a group who were struggling with the attraction of the ornate temples of the Greek gods. And he gave them this teaching on the comprehensiveness of the temple of God. He quoted from the wisdom of the Old Testament passages in Leviticus and in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. And he wrote to them in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "We are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And like the ancient agnostics and skeptics of Corinth, today's skeptics ask, where's God? The Christian, trying to live like Enoch, striving to be a recognizable temple of the living God, is just a person walking daily with our divine companion, whose great desire is to dwell and to walk among us, his people. Companion is what God wants to be. This great companion for life's walk is a close and loving companion. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, even when we're struggling with sin or grief." And I love the hymn, it's number 302 in our hymnal, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And the first line continues, "All of our sins and griefs to bear." Isn't it great to have a walking companion in Jesus who loves us through all times including those times, our sins, our times of grief. But the companion for life's walk is a faithful companion. It's unfortunate, but you know it happens. You know, you're all ready to go on a meaningful walk, and you call up your friend only to learn that he or she is not feeling up to a walk right now. Well, that never happens with God. He's our most faithful companion. He always wants to be with us. And as a matter of fact, Jesus told us in John 14 that he's preparing a place for us so we can just walk right in and live with him forever. I think you'll agree with me. The companionship of our walk with God is nothing less than amazing and wonderful. But let's not forget, we also do our part. We need to. There are demands in walking with God. You see, walking with God demands entire surrender. The Bible, in particular, the Bible, people's names carry special meanings. And the name Enoch means dedicated, one who's yielded up to God, one who's to be conformed to God's mind and will. And that sure sounds to me like entire surrender. Walking with God, truly being side by side, step by step with God, demands your complete surrender to the will of God. Paul spared no words as he indicated the totality of his surrender when he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Then walking with God demands the faith of unbroken fellowship. As Enoch walked faithfully with God, he had fellowship. He had perfect agreement. There was no time of fellowship that was broken with God. Amos, a great Old Testament prophet, in Amos 3:3 observed, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Well, walking with God demands continual progress. Each new day is a new journey. We've not passed that way before. We journey toward a new country. We're going the upward way, going to the promised land. Walking with God demands complete separation. Walking with God prohibits indulgence in the sinfulness of the world. See, God is light. God is pure light, and those who walk with him cannot walk in darkness. Sin, evil, those two words share pretty much the same meaning. So John's words of John 3:20 tell us clearly that you can't walk with God while you're in sin or the darkness of evil, because God is only completely pure light. John writes, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And then a very real demand of walking with God is, well, kind of hate to say this, but it's true, some kind of suffering. The world looks at you, looks at who you're walking with, and they say, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. Well, we don't like him, so we don't like you. And the possibility of a relationship suffers. But, you know, that kind of possibility is okay. In John 15:18, Jesus tells us to expect that people don't like you. The same kind didn't like Jesus either. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Paul issued a genuine invitation for his walk with God to his beloved Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:3, he wrote, "Join me in suffering like a good soldier for Jesus Christ." So, how do we walk with God? What is the behavior destined for you in the walking with God? Well, walking with God means walking in faith. To begin with, we receive Christ first, establishing companionship with God through faith. Paul tells us it's by grace that you've been saved, through faith. We walk by faith in happiness and or in sorrow, or sometimes in turmoil, or we walk by faith in our death. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It so says Hebrews 11:6. And he will not walk with you if you are not pleasing him. Thus, the invitation to walk begins by establishing your faith. Walking with God means not walking in a hypocritical way. You don't fake your way into a walk. We do not walk with faces disfigured, but transfigured. Not conformed to the rites of humanity, but transformed by the power of God. We do not walk with a pious face, but with a genuine life of piety, of godliness. We do not walk with ears opened to idle tales or gossip, but ears open to the voice of God. And then walking with God means walking in truth. You want to walk with Jesus? This is who you'll be walking with, talking with. This is who you'll be being with. The one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John, in his third epistle, wrote, It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. You see, walking with God means a spiritual walk. In Galatians 5, in two verses, Paul wrote, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh," verse 16, and then verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And that is indeed a spiritual walk. And finally, as you have possibly concluded here, there are great privileges in your walking with God. God gives you great privileges. Walking with God assures us that we won't be floundering around in an abyss of sinners and their wicked ways. Long ago, Isaiah described it this way: "A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it." Isaiah 55:8. The great and freeing feeling is the joy of walking with God on the highway of life and knowing that you are forgiven and cleansed, not stuck in the muck of the unclean and the wicked, as Isaiah called them out. Walking with God assures us of strength day by day. Well, you know the promise of Matthew 28 of the Great Commission. The Lord has promised to be with us always, to be our strength to the end of the age. As we walk with Him, He does give us strength when it is needed. Paul, the great apostle who surely walked with God, wrote of the strengthening given by God to those who walk with Him. Two examples among many that Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, chapter 1, verse 11, that they would be, quote, "strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And then he wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians verses chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Yes. Walking with God assures us of happiness along life's journey. You may get out and walk sometimes just to get away from life's constant pressures, but when you're walking with God, it's just happiness. It's just true happiness. Paul knew about that joy. He knew about it even in prison. As he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, he urged them to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I'm sure he was including that in his walks around and around and around in his cell. So, when do we get up and walk? When do we do that walking again with God? Amen. Are you ready? Amen. Now. Amen. Now, begin today. Begin another walk. Begin one of those walks that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you rise for our closing hymn and our benediction, I urge you to walk out of here today with God, and he will go with you every step of the way.